We open with hymn number 10. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Deal with your servant according to your mercy. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed when I look into all your commandments. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Deal with your servant according to your mercy. Mm-hmm.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we beseech thee so to guide and direct us by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not exalt ourselves, but humbly fear thee with our whole hearts, and hear and keep thy word, and hallow the Lord's day, that we may also be hallowed by thy word. Help us first to place our hope and confidence in thy Son, Jesus Christ, who alone is our righteousness and Redeemer. And then so to amend and better our lives in accordance with thy word, that we may avoid all offenses, and finally obtain eternal salvation through thy grace in Christ, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
The Old Testament lesson for this 17th Sunday after Trinity is found in the 25th chapter of Proverbs, verses 6 through 13. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. Do not go hastily to court, for what will you have to do? What will you do in the end when your neighbor has put you to shame? Debate your case with your neighbor, and do not disclose the secret to another, lest he who hears it expose your shame and your reputation be ruined. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise rebuker to an obedient ear. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest is a faithful messenger to those who send him, for he refreshes the soul of his masters. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth.
The epistle lesson is found in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, the first through the sixth verse. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is found in the 14th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 11th verse. Now it happened as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who has invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be abased, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn number 381. Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the 14th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 11th verse. Now it happened, as he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath, that they watched him closely. And behold, there was a certain man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus, answering, spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? But they kept silent. And he took him and healed him and let him go. Then he answered them, saying, Which of you, having a donkey or an ox that has fallen into a pit, will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him regarding these things. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, Give place to this man, and then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, Friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Whether it is on Saturday or Sunday, the people of God from the time of Moses until this day have always set aside a day wherein God's people assemble to hear his word. God himself commanded that on the Sabbath day the Jews were to do no labor. That day was to be set aside for hearing God's word and prayer and rest. But where God gives a simple commandment, man invents his own rules to go along with it. It's not enough to simply obey what God said. No, man must make himself better, it seems, than God himself. The commandment was simple. You can work in your regular occupation for 6 days, but on the Sabbath, set your occupation aside. But upon that, many other rules and regulations were added by men, things that God never commanded, nor did he even intend them. Man always takes something good that God makes, and he perverts it into sin. And so it came to be something that's almost extraordinary when you think about it, that Jesus actually had to ask the question, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? This shows just how far from the spirit of the commandment his adversaries had fallen. Jesus had come to this feast held on the evening of the Sabbath because he was invited by one of the rulers of the Pharisees. And as our text says that they watched him closely, it's obvious he was invited because once more they were hoping to catch him in some word or deed that he did for which they could then accuse him. Now these feasts, they were public affairs, not like our feasts today, where when you were invited as a guest, but then the public could still come and observe and watch. They didn't sit down at the table and eat, but if there was some prominent guest who was invited, surely they'd gather around. They wanted to hear the conversation, see what was said. When Jesus is invited to a feast by one of the chief Pharisees, you can bet that there were plenty of people who would come and watch. Perhaps Jesus would even heal them as he had healed so many others. In this case, a man came who had the dropsy, a term we don't hear much these days. Today we call it edema. A horrible and painful swelling which can happen all over the body, but especially in the limbs and the feet and the hands. Jesus had already received the ire of the Pharisees at other times for healing on the Sabbath day. They were all bent out of shape even when Jesus and his disciples were walking along the road on the Sabbath day, and because his disciples were hungry, they picked grain and ate it. Well, that was called work, you see, because that was technically harvesting, and so according to their rules and regulations, you were breaking the Sabbath. Well, this time Jesus doesn't give them a chance to complain. He asks them first, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?
should we be good and kind and compassionate to our neighbor on the Sabbath day? Or is that to work which God has forbidden? Remember all those people present at the feast, those who were not invited but nevertheless came to observe? They were the audience, and the Pharisees were being watched also. By themselves, they might have raged at Jesus for healing on the Sabbath day, but before the people, they were caught in a trap. If they answered Jesus that yes, it is not lawful to heal, then it is lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, they would be caught in their own hypocrisy, for the people knew full well what they taught about healing on the Sabbath. But if they answered no, it would be obvious. Here this poor man is, who Jesus can heal, and yet they would forbid this poor man from being healed. They would be condemned by the people as cruel and uncaring, and therefore they said nothing. And in their silence, Jesus healed the man and sent him on his way. But he was not finished with the lesson. He knew all about the Pharisees and their intricate systems of rules and exceptions. You see, it was not just that they condemned others for something for doing good. They also found ways around the law that perhaps others would condemn them for, except that they made an exception when it came to their own property. But Jesus asks a good question. Is it right on the Sabbath day to rescue one of your own beasts if it falls down a well? Who would condemn you for that? Of course it is right. But of course that beast is now your own property. So if it is okay to rescue your own property on the Sabbath day, how much more than to do good to your neighbor, to heal him of his ailment? What could they say to that? Again, if they answered Jesus anything at all, their hypocrisy would be on display. They condemned the labor of helping others, but were more than willing to excuse the labor involved in preserving their own property. No arbitrary rules of man can change the meaning and the purpose of the Sabbath day. It was given by God, not as a burden, not to build upon with rules and regulations and laws which burden the consciences of men. It was given by God to be a gift to men. How could it be evil to show compassion to one another on the Sabbath when God gave the Sabbath out of his own compassion for us? So what's so special about the Sabbath day, which for the Jews was the seventh day of the week? Does it have a special character by itself that is different from every other day? No, it is just a day. It is special because God set it apart after he finished creating the world. And later he specifically set it apart for Israel, for hearing his word, and for rest. It is not the day itself that is holy, but what God had ordained to take place on that day. Unlike the other commandments, where the thing itself was evil, there would have been no sin at all for the Jews to break the Sabbath day had God not explicitly giving it a meaning that the day by itself didn't have. Just like many other ceremonies, such as the sacrifice of beasts, or the Passover meal. If God had not commanded these things, why, these rituals would mean nothing. You could do them or not do them, and it wouldn't make any difference at all. That's not true of the other commandments. Things like, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill. These are sins in themselves. Even the heathen know that stealing and killing is wrong without ever hearing the Ten Commandments. It is only regarding the Sabbath, and none other of the Ten Commandments, that Paul says, let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come. But the substance is of Christ. Likewise, Jesus affirms all the other commandments as such, but regarding the Sabbath, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a shadow of good things to come. You see, God made the Sabbath about Jesus. When the Jews went to the synagogue or the temple on the Sabbath day to hear the word of God declared, there they learned of Christ. They learned of God's promised seed who would take away their sins. And now Jesus has come. The Sabbath is fulfilled in his work and labors, and in his rest. For he worked his greatest, most mighty work on a particular Friday where he bore the sins of the world and was crucified. And he rested from his labors on the Sabbath day in the tomb. Every Sabbath from Moses until that day was fulfilled in the death and burial of Jesus. Very early on, while the apostles were all still alive and preaching and writing, the church began to worship on the first day of the week, Sunday, which they called the Lord's Day. Jesus rose from the dead on that day, on Sunday, and the Holy Spirit came on a Sunday, the day of Pentecost. As the Sabbath was now fulfilled, it was only natural that the Christians would choose the Lord's Day above all others to go to church and to worship. The day had changed, but what took place on that day was just as holy and just as necessary as it ever was. On the Lord's Day, God's people now come together to hear their Savior's words and to eat and drink with one another at the Lord's table. You may do this on any day, but you may not refuse to do it entirely. The day itself is just a day like any other, but what takes place on that day is vital for your salvation. Luther explained the meaning of the Sabbath commandment with these words: "This is the heart, that we should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and his word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Without God's word and preaching, you die. You perish from starvation, for it is only at the word of God that you confess your sins. It is only by the word of God that your sins are forgiven. It is only his word and sacraments which give you life. And so also, it is not enough that you merely come to do your duty, to fulfill your obligation, as some people describe it, as if the command to come to church is a commandment like many others that you must simply just obey so that you can then earn the benefit that you get from it. That's how the Pharisees observed the Sabbath day. They thought that they were holier because they strenuously observed the Sabbath day. They piled the rules upon the Sabbath day: how far you could walk, whether you could put wood on the fire, whether you could pluck fruit from the trees or grains from the field to you as you were walking from place to place so that you could eat, something you could do quite normally on any other day of the week. How much you were allowed to help your neighbor or to heal him. And yet for all of that, they failed to keep the Sabbath. Because rather than coming to the feast of the Lord to hear God's word in humility, they came boasting in themselves and in their rules rather than in God's word and promise. They showed up demanding the highest seat because they needed no one to forgive their sins. The Sabbath day was important for them because they were important to themselves. It was only natural that they counted themselves as the guests that deserved greater honor than all the others. When the Pharisees were invited to a great feast, like a wedding feast, they behaved much the same way. They believed that as a holier people, they had a right to the best seats. They took those seats because they thought they deserved them. You know, we have a little bit of difficulty understanding what Jesus means here by the higher seats and the lower seats, because we don't eat and hold feasts quite in the same way that they do, where everyone reclined on couches where there were certain seats. There were better seats than others because you could see all that was going on. And to be in these places was to be honored as a guest, as a guest of greater honor. And so it's not surprising that at God's feast, his Sabbath, the Pharisees would behave as they did in other places, taking the best seats in the house. They wanted God to serve them based upon their merit and not out of his grace and mercy. They came to the Sabbath demanding a place at the Lord's table, but instead they found that the Lord pushed them aside and he said, "Give up your seat. I wish to honor another person and not you. Better to come as a beggar. Better to come like one of the crowd who stood on the fringes and watched, hoping that maybe the Lord of the feast would invite us to sit down at the table." So it is for you when you come on Sunday to hear God's word. You are not here because you are a particularly worthy guest. You are not Jesus, a man who is great and holy, who has done no sin and deserves the highest seat. You are like the crowd that stands around on the fringes. But unlike the feasts thrown by the Pharisees, Jesus has now come to you. And he's invited you to be his guest, to sit down and eat when you otherwise must stand by and watch. And he did not just come to those who were in the lower seats at the feast already. He sent out his servants to bring you into his feast, to invite you to come, to sit down at his table. His word is not like the Ten Commandments, which burden you with the knowledge of your sin and condemn you. He bids you to come to sit down and eat. In all the other commandments, God is telling you to serve him and to serve your neighbor. But in this commandment regarding the Sabbath, or the Lord's Day, or the Holy Day, or whatever day of the week it is that we meet together to hear his word, in this commandment, God is telling you to come so that he can serve you. That is what Jesus meant when he said that the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. God wants to serve you on this day. He wants to enrich you in your spiritual poverty, to wash you of your sins, to give you eternal life, to banish the darkness of death. The Lord's Day is a feast that God has laid out for you. Do not treat the divine service like a work that you're supposed to get right, as if you go through the motions just so. If you fold your hands with the proper reverence, if you sing with enough but not too much gusto so as to be boastful, that you will have pleased God and that you will then have earned his favor. He's not made you for the divine service and the liturgy and the sacraments. Rather, his word and promise, the liturgy, the sacrament of the altar, these things are for you. God tells you who appear here in humility, confessing your sins, friend, come up higher. He knows that you are not some great and distinguished guest, but a poor sinner, and yet he sits you down in the best place. He becomes your servant. He washes your feet. He washes you with the water of baptism, and he cleanses your sins. And then he lays down before you a feast of such richness that you will never hunger again. He feeds you with his body, and he gives you to drink of his blood. Therefore, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Indeed it is. And in fact, this is the reason that God bids you to come, so that he can heal you of your sin and death and give you a place of honor in his kingdom. Therefore, come up higher, friend, and let the Lord Jesus serve you. And then let your worship be a song of thanksgiving and a praise to him who has exalted you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Let us pray. O God and Father, loving creator of all things in heaven and earth, who rule and sustain them all, and who grants life and death according to thy holy judgments, we bow in prayer before thee and offer unto thee our common supplication. Give us, for the sake of thine only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, pardon for all our sins, and deliverance from the just reward of our transgressions. Rescue us in every temptation, whether it comes from the world, the flesh, or the devil. And since we cannot by our own reason or strength walk worthy of our calling, nor bear the name of Christ in honor, nor obey thy commandments faithfully, pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us, that we may more and more be conformed to thy will. Grant unto us the spirit of meekness, humility, and patience. Help us by thy grace to bear in love with one another's faults and infirmities, to love each other in charity and kindness, and to bless those who may seek to harm us. Look in mercy upon thy church, O God, and grant that it may keep the unity of faith and doctrine which thou dost give, and for which our Lord prayed. To that end, grant that thy church in every place may yield to thy word in repentance for sin, in the hope of the gospel, in the knowledge of every doctrine. May thy church faithfully show forth this one true faith throughout all the world, that men in every place may come to the knowledge and faith of our only Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless our nation, that throughout the length and breadth of the land, its people may worship and serve thee in spirit and in truth, and grant in thy counsel and aid that it may be preserved in peace. Guard and protect our families, and enable all parents to give wise reproof, spiritual admonition, and a wholesome example to their children, that in obedience to words fitly spoken, they may be edified and strengthened for usefulness and service to thee and to their fellow man. Work thy healing power upon the sick and all the afflicted. Hear their cry. Remember them in thy mercy, upholding them by the comforting power of thy Spirit. Show thyself to them a very present help and Savior, and increase their trust in thee through the love of thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whose glorious name we offer these and all other worthy petitions which thou seest in our hearts. Amen. We sing hymn number 373.
Thank you.
hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shed for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shed for you for the remission of your sins. The blood of Jesus shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give
give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
We sing hymn 380. His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.